Welcome to She Talks Tech, the brand new podcast from We Are Tech Women.
Imagine you were in the middle of a stadium, perhaps you have a front row seat, but 100 other people are able to occupy that same seat at the same time. Now, the beautiful thing about that is that's being done right now, is possible, and we should expect to see more of that in the future.
I'm Vanessa Vallely OBE, founder of We Are The City and We Are Tech Women. As an individual that's been a technologist, both in the corporate space and as an entrepreneur, I know how tough it can be to rise to the top of our profession. Women in tech make up just 17% of the industry in the UK, and those stats do not improve even if you look overseas. At We Are Tech Women, we want you to rise to the top of the industry. We want you to sit into senior positions and be key decision makers. The She Talks Tech podcast will bring you stories, lessons and tips from some of the most inspirational women and men in the industry. In today's episode of She Talks Tech, we hear from PwC's Head of VR and AR Technology, Jeremy Dalton. This session is about virtual and augmented reality. Jeremy helps clients to understand, quantify and implement the benefits of virtual reality and augmented reality technology. He's a regular contributor of thought leadership in the space, giving talks all over the world, from Twitter's headquarters in London to the SXSW Technology Festival in Austin, Texas. Jeremy has been featured in the media, including the BBC, The Independent, The Guardian and The Times. In this session, Jeremy will teach us more about VR and AR, how they are helping businesses right now and how they will affect our personal lives in the future.
Excited to talk to you today about virtual reality and augmented reality technologies, what these technologies are doing for us, both in our personal and professional lives, and also where it's going to go in the future and the challenges that it's going to face. So first of all, to talk about the differences between these two technologies. On one side, we've got virtual reality. Now, virtual reality is all about immersing you in a completely different environment, set of circumstances to where you are now. It's able to make you feel like you're in a different place, effectively. And on the other side, we have augmented reality. Now, that's where you're still in the physical world, the room around you, or the outside environment, and you have a pair of glasses or a mobile phone, and you're able to overlay that world with digital information. Now, virtual reality technology has been around for a while in one guise or another. You could take it back as far as human history goes in terms of its ability to tell stories, to communicate different worlds, different environments, different ideas. But this is a good physical example here of panoramic paintings that were all the rage in the 1800s. Now, the idea there is of the Rotunda in Leicester Square in London. Visitors used to come here and they used to enjoy this panoramic view of this wonderful environment, but all it was, in fact, was just a very large painting. But that was enough to encapsulate people and make them feel like they were part of that different world. In the 1960s, we started to see a lot of academic experimentations with the technology. You have Ethan Sutherland from MIT, who's experimenting with arguably the first VR/AR headset of its kind back then in technological or digital form. And on the left-hand side, you have the Sensorama invented by a chap called Morten Heilig. And it was a device you stuck your head into, and you got this experience of cycling through a field of roses and many other environments like that. And it wasn't only a visual experience, but it was also an experience for your nose as well. So he would push through rose scents while you were in that experience, for example. So it was a multi-sensory experience, in other words. Now, in the late 80s, early 90s, we started to see virtual reality being pushed to consumers in a big way. Now, unfortunately, this didn't quite take off because it was expensive, the headsets were clunky, the software or the graphics of the time were pretty poor by today's standards, and there wasn't enough processing power there to really create a smooth experience that wouldn't make a lot of people sick. So the whole industry went into hibernation mode for a while, to be resurrected in 2012 by a chap called Palmer Luckey, who put this prototype device, the Oculus Rift, on Kickstarter, asking the public, people like you and I, for $250,000 to bring this to life. Now, what he got was $2.4 million. 2 years later, Facebook believes in this technology enough to drop $3 billion on buying Oculus off of him. And nowadays, whatever big name you can think of, whether it's Google, Microsoft, Lenovo, Bosch, Acer, they've all invested, Apple even, they've all invested time and money in both virtual reality and augmented reality technology. We actually did a study a few months back, and the idea here was we wanted to be able to measure the economic impact of these two technologies to understand how it was going to affect the world that we live in and why, by up to $1.5 trillion. And the map that you're seeing on the screen here is an illustration of a few of the countries we've selected to try and understand that impact, not only in GDP actually, but also in terms of the number of jobs that are impacted. And you can see those figures there. Hundreds of thousands, millions of jobs will be impacted by virtual reality and augmented reality in a very positive way, in terms of they will help us to be more productive in our everyday employment. So you may be wondering how. There is a lot of work that went into this economic modeling, but this is the one slide summary of it all. These are the five buckets where virtual reality and augmented reality will have significant impact on our working lives and even on our personal lives to a large extent. Starting from the most significant impact in product and service development. So that's everything to do with how we come together, how we meet, how we collaborate, how we design, how we build things, ultimately how we work together. Then we have healthcare, and that's to do with improving surgical outcomes, helping to train doctors in different operations, helping to manage mental health conditions, PTSD, phobias, and the like, even dementia to some extent. Development and training is the next one, and this is obviously a very big area for virtual reality. The idea here being that you can be transported to a completely different environment where you can use your hands and actually engage in that training scenario in a virtual way without having to leave your office or home or travel anywhere. Next big bucket, process improvements. This is all about helping to understand how to deal with different tasks or different sets of instructions relating to complex devices or hardware. The idea being that you can have this visor which understands what you're looking at and helps you to navigate to different places, helps you to perform certain maintenance procedures or actions on different systems. And then finally, in the consumer space, or the retail and consumer space, we also have the retail processes. So helping retailers to understand how do consumers actually interact when they go into their store? What do they look at? What do they pick up? What do they see? What do they want to do? And then finally, we have experiences that you're probably more well-versed in or at least heard of. Video gaming is a big industry for virtual reality and augmented reality, and consumer experiences in terms of being able to explain and take us to different environments through film using virtual reality technology, as well as enhancing existing consumer experiences like theme parks and the like by using this technology. So what you're seeing now is a meeting that I had with my team in virtual reality in my colleague's living room, and we were all inhabiting his living room completely socially distanced, so you don't have to worry about transmitting COVID or anything like that. But it did feel like we were together, we were sharing the same space, and that collaboration can be incredibly powerful, particularly when we have situations like COVID-19 where we're not actually able to meet face to face anymore or to such a large extent. Here you have a video of virtual reality technology being used by McLaren, the sports car company. And what's happening here is a McLaren engineer or designer is using VR to try and build a design of a next generation vehicle, but using the air or the surrounding environment as their canvas. Here we have an example of Coca-Cola. Now they're using augmented reality to try and give you an idea or to try and sell these fridges, these refrigeration products. Of course, it's very difficult to try and visualize how they look in an environment, but using augmented reality and using this tablet in this case, they can show that refrigeration unit in the environment, pick different ones, change the color, customize it, and basically make it as simple as possible to help the customer envisage how that might look like in their environment. Here you're seeing an augmented reality video by a London-based startup called Dent Reality. And this is all about indoor navigation. So once you click that view in AR button, you can get actual guidance through the camera of your phone in the real world environment that you're in, the physical world. And it can give you these directional instructions to help you more clearly and accurately navigate these environments, which can often be quite complex, particularly when you think about large shopping malls, large offices, hospitals, multi-level retailers, different types of environments like that. This is a screenshot of an environment that we produce to try and understand consumer behaviors. So in this environment, you take the role of a home buyer who's looking at a new build home that maybe hasn't even been built yet. And the idea being that we can understand all the path that the users are taking, so whether they enter the kitchen first, then go into the bedroom, how long they spend in the bathroom, for example, examining the tiles, whether they were most interested in the kitchen island, because we can also have data in terms of where the users are looking and for how long. So a lot of powerful data can come out of scenarios like that. Volumetric capture. Now, this is a type of technology that allows you to effectively video a 3D model of someone. So this is one of our colleagues in our PwC office. She was videoed in a separate studio, a volumetric capture studio in South London called Dimension. And her 3D model was captured in its entirety and then imported into this augmented reality experience, which allowed her to stand in the physical world and speak to us directly through the mobile phone. And here we have a screenshot of a virtual reality soft skills training experience. Now, this was designed to encourage and improve inclusivity when it comes to the corporate world and how you engage with others. And this particular scenario we used as part of a study alongside classroom-based training, as well as e-learning. And the idea being we wanted to be able to contrast and compare those different learning modalities. And what we found is that learning in virtual reality is actually an extremely cost-effective way of learning, a less distracted way of learning. So it enables users to be more focused. And it's also a mode of learning that provides the most confidence to learners to be able to take what they've learned and apply it to the real world. Now, there are lots of numbers and details around this study. If you have any interest in looking at those numbers, we've just released the report literally yesterday on this, and you can go to pwc.com/vlearning to check it out in more detail. And finally, I will say there are challenges to adoption of virtual reality and augmented reality technology. Although there are a lot of use cases, as I mentioned previously, there are also a lot of difficulties that are currently being worked through to try and bring this to the mainstream. The first one, and probably the most important one, being user experience in terms of how easy is it from beginning to end. So right from perhaps picking up your mobile phone or taking a headset out of its packaging, all the way through to engaging in one of those scenarios I talked about, whether it's a remote collaboration meeting, whether it's a design of a new building that you're meeting others to discuss. There's lots of improvements we need to make in terms of making that process as easy as possible, as well as from a hardware perspective, making it as comfortable as possible. So making the weight of the headset lighter, making it smaller, making it more transparent ultimately, so it doesn't look like a very intimidating technology gadget. Next up, we've got cost. That's fairly self-explanatory in terms of helping to improve the affordability of the technology, both for consumers and for enterprise mainly at large scale, when we're talking about hundreds or thousands of these devices being purchased. And content, this refers to how much high grade or high quality content there is out there for consumers to download. And when you're used to going to a store on your mobile phone and having an app for everything, there is an equal expectation that there should be a lot of content out there at a very high quality that consumers can use. From an enterprise perspective, this is less of a challenge because it's mostly bespoke content that's being created. But nonetheless, creating bespoke content is also has its own challenges and is quite difficult in itself. And then finally, education. Now, education, not in the sense that we need more people to be educated at a higher level in the world, but education in the sense that we need people to better understand what virtual reality and augmented reality technology actually entails. So what does it actually mean? What can it actually do? What does it feel like when you put on a VR headset or when you use a high quality augmented reality experience on your mobile phone? That's very important in terms of getting people to move to the next level and invest and buy into the technology. So where will we go in the future? To a large extent, a lot of these examples that I'm going to talk about are already being used in the world right now. So experiencing events through virtual reality. This is all to do with, imagine you were in the middle of a stadium, perhaps you have a front row seat, but 100 other people are able to occupy that same seat at the same time. Now, the beautiful thing about that is that's being done right now, is possible, and we should expect to see more of that in the future because it makes absolute sense from a user's perspective in terms of giving you a middle ground experience between watching on TV and being there live in the stadium, but also helps corporations because stadiums themselves have limited seating, therefore you have a limited supply. But when you have the ability to stream through virtual reality, suddenly that supply becomes potentially unlimited. Will we socialize in virtual reality? This is another big area that we're already seeing to a large extent. You have meetings right now or social gatherings in VR and even in augmented reality. That will become a way of connecting us in the same way that social media and other elements like that have connected us digitally, but in a far more immersive way. Will we record life moments in VR? So if any of you have ever heard of 360 technology, this is all about recording an environment around you to be able to play that back in totality in the future. So instead of having a 2D picture of your memory, you've actually got the entire environment around you that you can look around. And in some cases, with the advancements in light field technology and volumetric capture, being able to actually walk around that environment as well. Will we produce art in VR? Art is already being produced in virtual reality and is being used by various establishments, including the Royal Academy of Arts, that have run dedicated exhibitions just for virtual reality and the artwork that the artists produce using this new medium. And will we learn through virtual reality? Learning has already taken place to a large extent in VR. I can only see it continuing to do so as it provides learners with a more exciting, engaging, and immersive experience that they wouldn't otherwise get if they were just looking at a textbook. And then finally, in terms of the future of where this technology is going, there are many things to talk about here, but I thought I'd take out a few bits and pieces. If you think about augmented reality from a mobile phone perspective, you don't need a headset to use augmented reality. Already, the mobile phone that you have in your pocket is most likely good enough to run a number of high-end augmented reality experiences. There are over a billion of these devices that can support high-quality augmented reality experiences out there in the world, and that number will only improve. Secondly, the miniaturization of the technology. Now, it's very intimidating when you have a headset like the one on the right-hand side, and it's very difficult to get people to engage in it. But once that technology starts to drop away and become more transparent, it starts to look like the glasses that we're wearing on our face right now. It becomes less intimidating, it becomes more comfortable to use. And then finally, The reason I put the picture of the headset with its add-on on the right-hand side is because this is a piece of technology that actually scans your brainwave patterns and converts those to digital signals that can then be used in digital applications like VR, AR, and even other applications as well. The idea of having neural input, so signals straight from your brain that affect virtual reality, augmented reality, and other digital experiences, is quite an amazing input method that, although it's a little bit less mature these days, will sit alongside new input and natural user interfaces like voice recognition, which we're becoming more comfortable with these days. So thank you everyone for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the talk.
Jeremy, a huge thank you for that awesome session. I've learned so much about VR and AR just by listening to you, just for that short period of time. Thank you so much for being a guest today. If you want to find out more about Jeremy, you can connect with him on Twitter at Jeremy C. Dalton, or alternatively, you can find him on LinkedIn. And thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. If you would like to pop on and subscribe to wherever you listen to your podcast and give us that 5-star rating, you'll also be kept informed of future episodes. And remember, we release one every Wednesday. Thanks again and keep listening.